You know what time it is. We can let down our hair. The moon is high and we are lunatics now. It's deep into safe harbor. It's Dark 30. I'm Vance Pollock on behalf of Joshua P. Warren, and now is the time you should turn off your radio if you don't want to hear some potentially outrageous material, because this is when we kick back, down a shot of hard liquor, and try to have some fun. And I'll be your creepy guide across the River Styx.
Abandon all hope.
My business is keeping the boys warm. In the studio with producer Sam the Animal Steel, investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop and Nevermore Mystical Arts, and Joshua P. Warren, the man himself. It's been a fun time. Time flies, Josh. And the juicy bits we discuss off the air are sometimes better than what leaks out to the listeners. That's why you'll want to avail yourselves of Joshua P. Warren Daily, Josh's unedited, very raw daily podcast. And they can hook up with that at joshuapwarren.com. Right, Josh?
There is no period after the P at joshuapwarren.com. Just click the link to the top, and it'll take you to my podcast page. You can subscribe through iTunes or Stitcher. If you just follow me on Twitter, I try to tweet once in a while when I have one posted. But every 24 hours, there ought to be at least one.
Right. Sounds good. And folks should definitely get your Josh fix there at joshuapwarren.com. We got to check in with Shelley. How's business, Shelley?
Business is great, and I've got a lot of stuff for people. Lots of ghost candles and Ouija boards and fun stuff for the holidays.
What's a ghost candle?
A ghost candle. There are about four or five different ones from this particular company for different things. One is for contacting the dead. It's a seance candle. Another one is for night terrors. Not to give anybody night terrors, but if you have them, it will get rid of them. Another one is if you have a bunch of ghosts or a particular ghost in your house and you're just not getting along with them and you would really rather they just leave and find another place. That's the ghost repel. And then there's a home clear and bless one. You've moved in. It feels kind of weird. Let's just get this place cleaned out.
So there are candles designed to chase the ghosts away, and then there are candles designed to invite the ghosts in.
Exactly. Fun, right?
Yeah, you said you were going to share one of the seance candles with me. Do you think people like burn them at night next to their bed or whatever so they communicate with the ghosts in their dreams? Or what's some of the lore surrounding how you might use the seance candle?
I'm thinking you could use the seance candle the way you would at a regular seance. You know how you put candles out? You know, you put that candle out too, and it just attracts them. And I'm interested to see how it works. I do have one for us.
Very cool.
I don't know if you want to try it in the studio or you want to...
That's a thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe we'll strike up a seance candle on the air here before Halloween. That would be great.
I think it would be.
Sounds good. 1271 Sweeten Creek Road. That's the address for Nevermore Mystical Arts, as well as Wright's Coin Shop. And you check in with the family next door. How's everything in the coin shop?
Busy, busy, busy over there. I looked out yesterday. There wasn't a parking space in sight. They were crazy over there. Now's a good time if you want to find collector coins, because people are selling things right now, and you can find some really wonderful items that aren't going to be all that expensive.
Kind of an interesting angle, and everybody needs a service like this at some time. A friend of mine lost his elderly mother a few years back, and he went through, did an inventory of her coin collection, admittedly fairly pedestrian. You know, there were some silver dollars, some nice items in there. I brought the list over to Wright's Coin Shop, and they came up with an appraisal for him. They're more than happy to do an appraisal and offer to buy estate collections like that, right?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
That that's a service offered right here in the community. Don't go to some fly-by-night outfit. Go to Wright's Coin Shop. They've been in business right here locally for over 40 years. To stay in business locally, you have to do an honest business with you locals, too. You know? So that's staying power. That's Wright's Coin Shop, 1271 Sweeten Creek Road. And what's the telephone number over there, Shell?
It is 298-5402.
Area code 828-298-5402. There you go, Wright's Coin Shop and Nevermore Mystical Arts. You can't have one without the other.
Exactly.
Greg Capps posted a coin on his Facebook the other day that captured my attention. It had some mystical drawings and letters on it, and it
was a token, right?
Right.
I saw that, and I commented on how, I really like that. If I had seen it first, it might have been in my collection.
He had done some research on it. It was a souvenir from a celebrity, lady who was a magician or, what would you call it, a apparitionist in the early 1900s, and she was kind of a big deal. I mean, he found some photographs and newspaper articles about her and everything, but this was a souvenir that she sold or gave out at her appearances in the early 1900s, and it was in with a bunch of other mixed stuff that Greg came across next door.
Yeah, and guess whose home it went home to a couple of days ago.
You talked him out of it?
No, he brought it in for me.
He read gave my it post. To you?
He did. Was that not nice?
That was sweet. I thought Shelley deserves this because he was talking like he was going to keep it. He tagged you in the post and then was talking like he was going to keep it, and then he gave it to you.
He did.
That's so sweet.
That was very sweet.
Yeah. I can think of no one that deserves that weird, mystical
really cool
token than Shelley. So, yeah. Get down there, 1271 Sweeten Creek Road. Josh, let's touch briefly on the Hope Diamond curse and the Reynolds Mansion again. We got to talking about that just in the last segment, last hour, kind of off the cuff. So,
just to wrap that up, when the owner of the Reynolds Mansion started wearing the Hope Diamond around, all kinds of bad things happened to her family. Her husband started going insane. There were bankruptcy issues. There was a suicide. I mean, just a series of bad things happened. And I've done a number of paranormal investigations at the Reynolds Mansion over the years. And, you know, I see a lot of supposed ghost photos. And one of the most impressive ghost photos I've ever seen came from the Reynolds Mansion. And this was a photograph that was discovered in a drawer that was apparently taken during the 1970s. And most people who follow ghosts are familiar with the Brown Lady of Raynham Hall. That may be the most famous ghost photo ever, showing a woman in a dress coming down a staircase. There is a photograph from the Reynolds Mansion that rivals the Brown Lady in terms of quality and overall effect. And it shows a woman wearing a long dress, I think her hair is up in a bun, coming down, or it looks like she's starting to come down the top of the staircase at the Reynolds Mansion. It's absolutely incredible. If you want to see this, if you go to joshuapwarren.com, you can click the menu at the top where it says Gallery of the Strange. You'll find all kinds of goodies there, but there's one section called World's Wildest Ghost Photos. And these are images that I have hand-selected that I think are credible, whether I or my team took them or we analyzed them as historic photos. You can click through about 7 or 8 pages of images there, and you'll see this amazing full-bodied apparition photo from the Reynolds Mansion. So there's a lot of stuff of a paranormal nature sort of swirling around the Reynolds Mansion. And speaking of pictures, I really hate to bring up a photograph on the air that I'm not 100% certain I can show the listeners, but I'm going to do it this time. The reason I have not gotten permission yet from the photographer, and of course I always do that, but just recently, did you get permission?
I got permission.
For us to put it out there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, in that case, we'll get it posted. We did a mystery van tour recently. I teamed up with my good buddy Christian McLeod, president of the Asheville Cryptid Society. We took people all over Western North Carolina to Transylvania County. And we went to the Allison Deaver house, the oldest house in the region. Had a lot of fun. It was an over 12-hour experience, if you can believe that. Well, we ended at the Helen's Bridge site. And, of course, many people consider Helen's Bridge the most famous accessible haunted spot in Asheville. And there was a fella named Melvin from Tennessee who was standing right next to me snapping off shots. And he said, "Look at this, Mr. Warren." And I looked over. And at first, it just looked like he'd gotten some kind of a misty form. And then I looked more closely and I saw, okay, well, for one thing, there's an odd little arc here. But right over at the spot where the mist seems to be emanating from is what looks very much like the figure of a woman standing there. So I'm going to show this to you on my telephone right now, Vance. And if you look over to the left side, you can probably see what I'm talking about.
Yes, yes, I do. Okay. There are mists and vapors all over the photo, as you say.
What was he shooting at originally?
He was just taking a
was
lot of...
Was that the bridge on the top?
Yeah, that's okay. The bridge at the very top. And he has great controls. He took control photos before and after that didn't have any of those effects. And so this may or may not be a photograph of the infamous Helen... of Helen's Bridge, but it certainly was an interesting image, and we'll get that posted for you in some way. Go to speakingofstrange.com, and I'll try to get a link up there for you. Definitely go to our Twitter feed and all that, which you can also access through the site.
That is excellent stuff. It just goes to show that there are more mysterious photos coming in all the time. If you've got some great photos to share... You can find my email address there at speakingofstrange.com as well. Mail them over. I'll put them up in the old lemur forum. We used to go through a lot of pictures there back in the day. Some great stuff. Anyway, this is Speaking of Strange, the Dark 30 Hour. We'll kick it off in earnest after the break. I wouldn't be surprised with Halloween only a couple weeks away if it weren't the season of the witch. The Dark 30 Hour folks, there's some unsavory news items that we don't even have to, like, dig deep. They're, like, making the mainstream news outlets. The world is getting more and more insane every day. You may have heard this one. This is from CBS Sports. Florida man sets himself on fire after losing a Cowboys-Packers bet to his wife. Pretty good writing from the mainstream outlets in this case. The Packers burned the Cowboys, and then this idiot burned himself. You might have a burning passion for football, but do you have a light-yourself-on-fire type of passion? One man in Vero Beach, Florida, can claim to have such fiery devotion for the Dallas Cowboys, but for now, he'll have to root on his favorite team while recovering from severe burns to his body. According to the Sebastian Daily, a 27-year-old man was rushed to the hospital after lighting himself ablaze after watching Sunday's Cowboys-Packers game. The incident reportedly came as a result of a lost bet after Aaron Rodgers led Green Bay down the field in a last-minute drive that gave the Packers the 35-31 win. At the hospital, deputies spoke with a couple who admitted they were watching the NFL game and agreed to burn the losing team's jersey. However, the man decided to wear the jersey as it was burning. A witness told Sebastian Daily he was set on fire after losing a bet on the Cowboys game. Skin was hanging off his arms and back. Ooh. The man suffered third-degree burns on his right arm and right hand and second-degree burns on his back. When the woman's team won, her husband went outside to light his jersey on fire. He told deputies that he was drunk and tried to put the jersey on while it was burning.
That's not very smart.
No. When burning a jersey, don't try to wear it. Yeah, that's good advice. Are you looking at anything interesting over there, Sam?
Well, I saw this. What makes this story interesting is not so much the act, which was a collegiate freshman in England, Newcastle, England, known only as Ross, who got a little tipsy one night out at the pubs, the fresher, as the Brits would say. They have, like, weird abbreviations for it, like the fresher. He met two birds at a nightclub, and he managed to get both of them to go back to his dorm room. Okay, now that's cool. You know, as a 41-year-old guy, it doesn't happen a whole lot anymore. You know, so I'm like, good for you, Ross. Well, the problem was that the next morning, he had, it was like his first day of training at a new job. His first day at a new job, and now it's 3 a.m. He's got two birds back at the dorm, and he's going to be up all night partying. So he sends a text to his future employer. And might I add that the name of the pub is Filthy's, which is kind of apropos. And, you know, I'll just kind of summarize this down. Basically, the gist of the text to his boss that he hasn't even worked with yet was like, yo, I know it's my first day. I'm paraphrasing because it's all British and text slang. He's like, I got two birds. I won't make it in for training at 10. You look like a top shagger yourself, mate. So I hope you understand the situation. If not, then thanks for the chance, but a man's got to do what a man's got to do. Ross. Well, he knew that he might lose his job. You got to take these chances in life. I mean, I look back with regret on some opportunities missed in my 20s. Amazingly, Ross was not sacked on the spot. Instead, Filthy's has put the decision in the hands of random people on Facebook. What should be Ross's fate? There are three options. Either he gets fired, or the screenshot is forwarded to his mom, or he owes his colleagues lunch and an essay about why you shouldn't call your boss a top shagger. What would you do to Ross? I mean, I think that's pretty pretty nice of his boss, instead of just like, hey, you idiot.
I think the essay on why you shouldn't call your boss a top shagger would be interesting.
Firing's too easy. Mom shaming. You don't need to put mom through that stuff, you know? I mean, she might read it now. But, yeah, I say make him buy lunch for everybody because he probably doesn't have any money. And be creative. And if you're not creative enough in the essay, then you get the boot.
Yeah, grade the essay. Yeah.
But I like that. I like leaving it up to Facebook.
I like that Ross was just kind of blunt about it. He didn't try to phone in sick or anything like that. He was upright.
I think the main problem in that text was referring not to his boss as the top shagger, but assuming that they were more buddy-buddy than they really were. Like, you know, mate. You know, like, you got to have some. You'd be like, sir, what would you do? Still show deference to, you know, the managerial aspect of it, but be like, look, man, come on. I got two birds. Two birds.
The unedited text of many of the stories we share here on Dark 30 can be found in links on the Speaking of Strange Facebook page. Go to Speaking of Strange on Facebook, and you'll find a lot of these links back. this is from Fox News. Wyoming man arrested after claiming he traveled from 2048 or 2048. I guess at some point I have to quit referring to it as 2000, because you have to imagine the old timers talking about back in 1917. I'm still saying 2000, but he traveled from 2048 to warn of alien invasion. Whatever a Wyoming man was drinking was out of this world. He was arrested for public intoxication on Monday night after he allegedly told police that he came from the future to warn of an alien invasion. They were called to a street in Casper, Wyoming, where he reportedly told them he traveled from the year 2048 and was trying to warn the town that aliens would be arriving next year, KCYW reported. NASA searches for planetary protection officers to save Earth from alien contamination. That's a related link, a true story. But this gentleman said that everyone needed to leave as quickly as possible and demanded to speak to the president of the town, the president of the president of Casper, Wyoming. He reportedly told law enforcement that he was able to travel back to 2017, even though he said he meant to travel to 2018 because aliens filled his body with alcohol and had him stand on a giant pad to transport him to the past. The alien informant allegedly smelled of alcohol, had watery and bloodshot eyes, and slurred his speech, police noted. He had a blood alcohol content of 0.136. Things haven't changed much in 2048, it seems.
That was, you said that he came back from 2048 to now.
Right.
But was this the one where he was supposed to be, he accidentally came back to now?
Well, he was supposed to come back to 2018,
right,
where it would have been more timely. The information would have been more timely. But
so
when
he
found himself in 2017, he...
Was that an error on the flux or the time circuit?
Yeah, the flux capacitor error.
Well, flux capacitor is what makes time travel possible, but the time circuits, that's what tells you where to go.
Yeah. Anyway, the process of standing on a giant pad while drunk, it seems a little suspect.
Well, I've got a good one for you after the break, involving a pastor of some weird, not really a church, a penis that is taken control of by said pastor.
I'm looking forward to seeing you describe this eloquently, Sam.
Oh, I will, Joshua.
And still,
I will.
Still keeping it within the realm of good taste.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah, right.
It's the Dark 30 Hour here on Joshua P. Warren. Speaking of strange, there's more to come if you're brave enough. If not, find something else to entertain yourself for the next half hour, because it could get wild. We'll be right back after this break. Dark 30, on Speaking of Strange, you never know what you're going to get, but it's bound to be a wild ride. So if you're squeamish, or easily offended, or young, Not just young at heart.
Whoa.
But
where are you going, buddy?
Yeah. Avoid at all costs.
So let me read you this story here. I see this thing. Here's the headline of it. Man's penis protrudes, allegedly obeys pastor's commands. So that's enough for me to click on it, for sure. And there's a thumbnail of a protruding member here. So I'm like, wow, that looks like something I need to know about. The founder and general overseer of Christ Mercyland Deliverance Ministry, Warri Delta State. Don't know where Warri Delta State is. It sounds like another galaxy. Prophet Jeremiah Omotu Fufian, a.k.a. Warri T.B. Joshua. Ooh, going by an alias these days, are you? Has shocked the world yet again when he prayed for a man with rectal malfunction in front of his members. The man who almost went unclad was believed to be tormented by a spirit. He had his penis controlled by the pastor before the congregants as it tossed up and down inside of his boxers. Now, apparently, this pastor, a.k.a. Warri T.B. Joshua, had recently prayed for an obese woman to lose weight, but there was no visible result at the end. Factor that into this. Okay. Now, apparently, in this video, which has since been taken down off of Instagram, and boy, was I angry, the pastor constantly commanded the man's member, and it obeyed, even as it tossed up and down to the awe of the onwatchers. I mean, if I was in the congregation, I mean, that would beat a lot of the services I had to sit through when I was a wee lad hearing about Mount Sinai or something. If I just... It's a whole nother dimension to church right there.
Telekinesis, perhaps.
Yeah, the man's manhood protruded to an outrageous limit in front of the congregation. So not only did it move up and down, it grew out, apparently. Now, if this is to be ascertained, we'll never know because Instagram took it down.
I've heard of the Sermon on the Mount before, but this is not exactly...
This would be the Sermon in the Mound?
Yeah, something... Something along those lines, perhaps.
So, I mean, without being able to see the video, I can't say for sure. I could do some more research, maybe find somebody who grabbed it before it was stricken. Maybe it's they don't want us to see it. Maybe we're not ready for that. But I'm thinking it could have been, you know, if it was like a snake handling type service,
yeah.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
It could have been some monofilament or something, the sleight of hand trick there. But who knows what Warri T.B. Joshua's got up his sleeve. I'll have to do some more research on that, Vance, and get back to you and let you know if or not this was the work of the Lord, a Lord, or just a hoax.
Please do. But you watched the video before it was taken down, right?
No, I have not.
Oh, no.
I wish. Sorry. I could say that I had.
Did you know that pathological laughter, chronic pathological laughter, is a thing? Here's the deal. This gentleman was in the most critical meeting of his life after being in a coma for some time, after suffering a severe beating resulting in a brain injury. He laughed the whole way through the discussion, but to him it felt like he was sobbing. He would later be diagnosed with pathological laughter. The gentleman, now 38, had been out on a night for a night on the town with the Swamamamuniam. I can't pronounce these places.
Could you say that again?
Quamaman Football Club teammates in January of 2007 when he was targeted in an unprovoked attack on that cold night as he left a pub in his hometown. In West Wales, four men he didn't know rounded on him and repeatedly punched and kicked him. His skull was fractured. He fell into a coma for several months. A blood clot left, and he suffered from slurred speech, chronic fatigue, mobility difficulties, putting him in a wheelchair. He says, "I've learned to walk and talk again and come to terms with the fact that I will never fully recover. Life has been a struggle for me and my family, but we're plowing through it." He spent 13 months in a hospital, but it wasn't until month four that he had his first laughing fit. It was a serious meeting with my consultant, rehabilitation therapist, and my family to discuss what my life and my future was going to be like. When they started talking about me, I was frightened, and it triggered something off in my brain, and I laughed right through the meeting. I was actually crying my eyes out, but it came out on the surface as laughter. At first, no one understood his behavior. His family even thought he was making a scene in public, pleading for attention. It took several years before he was diagnosed with these full-on fits of laughter as a pathological condition called pseudobulbar effect, or PBA. Curious and strange from the realm of medicine. Best of luck to that gentleman, and may some of his laughter be happy laughter and not just a strange tick associated with stress. I don't know, Josh, would that be sort, wouldn't you consider that somewhat of a curse when you displayed anxiety or stress or sadness as laughter?
Yeah, well, you know, any type of involuntary phenomenon, sneezing, hiccuping, you know, you hear these stories about people who hiccup for years and nobody can do anything for them. And I think this must be some kind of a similar mixed signal happening there in the brain. Definitely
crossed wires, yeah.
I wouldn't like it. It'd be very inappropriate at certain times, like funerals, for example.
Right. Yeah, it would be a little embarrassing at funerals.
How about this? Shelly, Miss Shelly Ray, let me ask you something. Do you have a hard time waking up in the morning?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, like you just do. You, are you a snoozer? Do you hit the snooze button a lot?
Sometimes, yes.
Okay, well, I mean, you know, you don't want to do that. So, is your hatred for getting up so great that you somehow made an inanimate object cry? Well, you know what could make an alarm clock better if instead of waking you up with a vile alarm, it woke you up with a red-hot orgasm?
What's that you say?
Well, that's what I'm telling you about, Shelly, is this new device here. As you can see, it's this pink thing that's got a clock on it. It's called the Red Rooster, I believe. It's an alarm clock that wakes you up with an orgasm. So you set the alarm, and instead of the alarm going off, it actually vibrates. The Little Rooster, I'm sorry. It's not just a vibrator. It's an alarm clock for your pants.
Yeah, but she'd be setting her alarm every 5 minutes. It would take on a greater role in her life, I'm afraid.
Well, this is according to their press release. It's you wear it inside of your knickers, or your, I added that, it says underwear, where a vibrating leg stimulates your lady parts there. Now, you might not want to get it. Maybe you would hit snooze a lot.
You'd never get any sleep, probably.
Or you'd never get anything done because you'd never get out of bed. No word if they have anything coming out for the men, but it actually has an iPhone app that goes along with it. So it's amazing what they're doing with, you know, novelty toys these days. I mean, we're old. I remember the old school.
Yeah.
But we didn't have apps.
Back in my day, you had to have sex with a flesh and blood woman.
You had a tube sock.
Now they got these fancy robots.
You had a tube sock and some... And a piece of liver? We didn't have no apps.
Well, you know, you were reading a story earlier about the robots.
Yes.
The sex robots have become so incredible, they're being prostituted now.
Yes, and I there is a, where was that? There's a new article I just saw about a brothel that has nothing but the robots, or the sex what are they called? They're not called sex
like
robots.
Like an animatronic,
so, I mean,
a Disney animatronic president.
You can't use that term. that is a copyrighted term. So I'm Googling here.
You made reference to a like a technology convention where they had one of these sex robots on exhibit, inviting people to touch it, feel it,
yeah.
And they got a little aggressive.
Well, I found an article, which we'll get to after the break, about the brothel. And this could save a lot of... it seems like everything's being outsourced
money.
These days. jobs. They took our jobs!
Save a lot of money on dinners for your dates.
That is a problem, they said, with millennials, is mm-hmm. not having enough money to take dates out anymore.
Yeah.
I can feel that pain. You're lucky you're married, maybe. Even though she doesn't like Mr. T.
That could be a problem.
It is a problem.
We're bringing Mr. T into this now.
Oh, no. This is the Dark 30. All things begin and end with Mr. T. Speaking of strange, we'll be right back.
Steady aim, my drum at your head to hit the brain. I'm labor ready, roll scholar for the dollar. Work for mines, pay me by the hour.
We're not falling, we take it back to the days of yes, y'all. We're holding on to what's golden.
The final minutes of one little radio show we call Speaking of Strange. 15 years along, and we've got Joshua P. Warren in the studio with us. Of course, you've been listening. You know that. We've got a couple more seedy stories. Well, I've got a couple that I think are relevant within the context, the greater frame of Speaking of Strange. Get this, vampire scare. This is legit. Reuters wire service. Vampire scare prompts UN pullout from southern Malawi. The United Nations said on Monday it has pulled staff out of two districts in southern Malawi where a vampire scare has triggered mob violence in which at least five people have been killed. Belief in witchcraft is widespread in rural Malawi, one of the world's poorest countries where many aid agencies and NGOs work. A spate of vigilante violence linked to a vampire rumor erupted in Malawi in 2002. These districts have severely been affected by the ongoing stories of blood-sucking and possible existence of vampires, the UN Department of Safety and Security said in a security report on the Falambi and Malanje districts that was sent by Reuters. The acting UN resident coordinator said in an emailed response to questions that based on the report that some UN staff have relocated while others are still in the districts depending on locations of their operations. They are monitoring the situation closely to ensure all affected are back in the field as soon as possible. The report said that at least five people had been killed in the area since mid-September by lynch mobs accusing them of vampirism. It said mobs searching for vampires had been mounting roadblocks in the district, raising security concerns. The Malawian president said the reports were distressing and agonizing. This development has been of grave concern to the president and the entire government, his office said in a statement. The UN report said the vampirism rumors appear to have originated in neighboring Mozambique, although it was not clear what had sparked them. It recommended the temporary suspension of UN activities in the area until the situation is normalized. That's so bizarre, but we're, you know, in the Western world, we're only a few generations away from witch panics and torturing and lynch mobs and things like that. It's relatively fresh in our collective history.
Well, Goody Pollock, you like that? That was a Scarlet Letter reference to witches.
No, it was The Crucible.
Oh, gosh, you're right. Goody Proctor.
Goody, yeah.
Sorry. I was trying to tie into your witch.
Okay.
All right, check this out. This is apparently why we can't ever have nice things, Vance. The man behind an intelligent sex robot named Samantha says the kinky creation needs to be repaired thanks to barbarians at a tech industry festival. It was in Barcelona, Spain, and the inventor wanted to show off Samantha. I mean, why wouldn't you? The Randy robot is programmed with artificial intelligence so that she responds to gentle seduction. She gets more aroused the more she's romanced. This is exciting me just talking about it. I'm thinking of like all the lonely nights that I spend, but I could have companionship in the form of Samantha. Well, this did not happen at the festival. Instead, Samantha was molested and seriously damaged by attendees. The people mounted Samantha's breasts, her legs, and arms. Two fingers were broken, and she was heavily soiled. Now, according to Britain's Metro News site, people can be bad because they did not understand the technology. They did not have to pay for it. They treated the doll like barbarians. Well, Samantha's breasts and some other body parts were badly damaged by the sex-crazed Austrian horde. The AI software in the robot still worked perfectly, so when her creator asked the doll, "How are you?" it responded, "Hi, I'm fine." Yeah, so, I mean, there's hope in this story nonetheless. Barbarians, yes. Did the soul come through unscathed?
Well, you know, Sam, I was just fisting this barbecue sandwich, and I think I've lost my appetite now.
Oh, man, that was a tasty barbecue sandwich, wasn't it?
I don't think
you
I'm
were
going...
just shoveling it, just fisting it into your mouth.
We apologize if we have...
I know your love of barbecue.
...tainted anybody's appetite with tonight's Dark 30 Hour. Everybody's doing a good job. Thanks, guys.
Looks like you've heavily soiled the front of your shirt over there.
You're Gaia Barra.
Thank you so much, Josh, for coming in. It was a good time, man. Just like old times, like a regular family reunion here on Speaking of Strange tonight. Thanks to all the other good friends and crew out there. Brian Hall, Mobius, Aaron. There's
Samantha.
Friends too numerous to count, Samantha. I thought she liked it rough.
You're a barbarian.
Let's do this again soon, shall we? Stay strange.